you grow up with the NES, PlayStation, Star Wars, cartoons, and ABC TV? Do you like to think who would win in a fight between Batman and the Master Chief? Comics, games, movies, music, and TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of geeks. And TV, they're gonna tell you everything you need. Superheroes or not, they got your back. They're gonna save the world of this week and kink. This week and kink.
And now it's time for another special feature.
Heggle.
Okay, Alex here, and I am still feeling sort of blah from my cold. Some people say man cold, but I don't know what the difference is. All I know is I'm stuffed up, I've been coughing, and I can't sleep properly. I'm on weird time schedules, and I'm making my mind go crazy. But it's 2:30 in the morning. The Super Showdown starts at 5 a.m. our time, so I'm probably just going to stay up and watch it. And it's been a while since I was watching regularly WWE. I've had problems with their storylines and a bunch of their matches just seem like shit lately, and nothing really excites me. I feel like they're holding off till that Fox transition next year for SmackDown. Maybe the SmackDown 1000th episode is going to be pretty good. Who knows? It could be crap. But I am interested in these big shows because it means they're actually having to throw money into things. They haven't, since the network came out, really invested heavily in their programming because they just have guaranteed money every month. And I'm sorry, it's guaranteed money less than what they used to get because there's not really a risk. Nobody's paying for pay-per-views anymore. That being said, I think what they did last year when they went to Saudi Arabia, it showed that was like a $1 billion production that was thrown out there with all of the investment that they got from the Middle East for television rights and then the huge show. It was such a huge money maker for them that it showed that they can do these big, gigantic shows in countries they don't usually go to. So this is probably going to be something we start to see more and more often. And whether or not the storylines get continued on them is something to be said. We'll see later on. I do think that this is where we're going to get our freak show fights. We're going to get like the people coming back. Like, you might even see somebody like a Scott Steiner, who normally hates them, but will do a one-off show for a payoff. Because I mean, we saw Shawn Michaels coming back because the money is too good. Because you know, you guarantee he's getting $2 million for this one show. Because why wouldn't he? There's a huge, like, over 100,000 people are supposed to be there, and like legit 100,000 people. So I'm just looking at the match card, and I'm going to make my predictions now a few hours beforehand. I haven't read any of the, like, not the dirt sheets, but like any of the betting odds on it. But let's see here. Becky Lynch, who's the champion now, I did not know that, versus Charlotte Flair, singles match for the women's champion. They could give it to Charlotte because they want her to be Ric Flair's successor. I would hope that Becky keeps it, but it's probably going to go to Charlotte Flair. So I'm going to say Charlotte Flair gets it. Asuka and Naomi versus the Iconics. WWE's history of being in your hometown or even country means that you lose. But you kind of hope, if this is a one-off show, because it's not a championship match, that Billy Kay and Peyton Royce, who I believe are Aussies, they're probably going to win, which will be cool. So I'm going to predict them. So the New Day versus Cesaro and Sheamus, they're probably going to give it to Cesaro and Sheamus. Even though the New Day is super over, it would be time, I think, because they haven't won the championship in forever. Cedric Alexander versus Buddy Murphy for the Cruiserweights. They're probably going to keep it on Cedric Alexander because nobody really cares about 205 Live. AJ versus Samoa Joe. they could give it to Joe, but I think they would want to keep that for their normal pay-per-views, unless they really want to make the special. So I'm going to say AJ keeps it. The Bella Twins and Ronda Rousey versus the Riot Squad. They got to have Ronda win, right? Like, because last time she was in Australia, she lost. Big time, she got kicked in the head. The Shield, Dean Ambrose, Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins versus Braun Strowman, Dolph, and Drew. You got to say that they want the Shield to win so they can, you know, lift up all of their belts. Here's what's going to depend. If they come out to the ring all like super tough and they do a pose with all their belts, they're going to lose. If they come out ready for a fight, they're going to have them win so they can pose afterwards. So that's a toss-up. I would hope that Braun Strowman, Ziggler, and McIntyre win, but it might be the Shield loses and then they break up or have some sort of fight. Daniel Bryan versus The Miz. Singles match to determine championship. I mean, you'd want Daniel Bryan to win, but I think The Miz might win, so they give Daniel something to chase for WrestleMania. So I'm going to say The Miz wins. Bobby Lashley and Cena versus Elias and Kevin Owens. Oh, it's Lashley and Cena, of course. Because how many more big matches is Cena going to have in Australia? Maybe none. He's got maybe 3 or 4 years left on his career as a... He's not even really full-time anymore. Just sort of, it's weird. He sort of just stopped being full-time almost immediately. Like, they don't... I know he's doing Hollywood. He's really pushing for that. But he's not going to get to the same level as The Rock. He doesn't have that level of charisma. But for this, it's probably going to be Bobby Lashley and Cena winning. Unless they lose, and then it sets up a fight for them at... I don't know, Survivor Series or Rumble, because maybe that'll be fun. Triple H, Shawn Michaels versus Taker and Kane. It's going to be... Oh, shit. That's going to be weird. So maybe Triple H wins because Shawn Michaels interferes, and then we have a Taker versus Michaels match for Rumble? Maybe, now that he's probably coming back. That one's going to be hard to predict, so I'm not even going to really attempt it. It could go either way. So basically, the roundup will be, I think, personally, I think Charlotte Flair is going to... I think Charlotte Flair is going to win. I then think the Iconics will win. I think it'll be Cesaro and Sheamus. Cedric Alexander. AJ Styles. The Bella Twins with Ronda. I think they're going to go with the Shield winning, then The Miz, then Bobby Lashley, Cena winning, and the final, I'll find out in a couple hours, I guess, because I don't know, maybe we'll include this in the show, because later on today, I believe I'm recording Twig with Michael. I'm not sure if Mr. Trister will be there, but if he is, cool. And Mike might not have seen the results, but we can talk about it. We can probably look it up, since you can just rewatch any of these events later on in the day. So we'll give, I guess, my final thoughts on it later on.
This is a fair request, and I promise I will not judge any person only as a teenager. And that this is no more right than saying all teenagers are drunken dope addicts or glue sniffers.
Got a quick one here for you. This is Arcade Islands Volume 1, brought to you by Mastiff Games. Now, what is Arcade Islands? It's, think of back to the Wii era where we started getting a lot of these bundles of mini games that were very popular because the Wii was selling to the casual market. That's sort of what this is. These are quick pick up and play games with a little over 30 games of just very easy pick up and play is probably the best way to describe it. They're mini games that you might find in like a Mario Party or something of that ilk. It's not something that, you know, you're gonna, you know, say is the most imaginative and amazing game out there, but you know what, it's a solid party game. I picked it up and for review and was able to play it with my brother and his fiance, and we found it was perfect for when you're having sort of like a dinner party or having some kids over or something, and you want to just throw a game on and play over the next half hour maybe 5 or 10 random individual mini games. It is something that you can just pick up and play. And we reviewed it on the PS4. It ran smoothly and fine, and it's very very middle of the road, but very accessible, and I'd say something even like my mom or my grandma could play and wouldn't have too much difficulty. So with that in mind, it is something of a budget title, so it's not like this is a game that's going to be released and at the full like retail of $80, because it would not be worth it and I wouldn't recommend it. But at its budget price of, you know, an entry-level game price, I would say it's definitely worth checking out, especially if you're going to have parties where you're hosting and there's going to be kids there and it's something you just want to throw on and not have to worry about, you know, violent content or anything. It's something that you're going to find at least one or two games in that minigame series that you're going to like and you're going to be able to play for 5-10 minutes at a time. You know, this is no RPG with 100 hours of gameplay. This is something you're going to pick up and play for, you know, the 10 to 20 minute mark and then move on to something else. But it's something I like to have in my game repertoire and you know, always ready to go whenever I want. So I would say it's recommended at the discounted price that it is compared to the retail prices. And, you know, especially if you have kids, could check it out.
Do you have any hobbies?
I collect spores, molds, and fungus.
Hold that thought. It's crapper time.
Here's a review that I was waiting on, particularly for a month or so, because I wanted to take the time to actually test everything out and make sure everything worked perfectly. Now, Orzely, who sent us the Switch protective grip case earlier in the year, sent out a few more items for us to look at, and we've got a dual PS4 controller charging dock and a charging dock for the controllers for the Nintendo Switch. Now, the PS4 dock, it lets you have two controllers plugged in at once, and it uses just a standard charging cable. I've got that hooked up to a multi-port USB charger that I have plugged into the wall that can provide an equal amount of voltage and amperage to each port. So it's actually saved a lot of clutter of having multiple cables on my charging shelf. Now, it's very simple. You basically place the controller on face up down into the slot. It doesn't charge through the normal charging port on the top of the controller. I didn't realize you can charge the PS4 controller through the bottom where the headphone jack goes in, and there's that little accessory port on there. It actually doubles as a charger when you have that plugged in too, which is kind of cool. There is a little indicator LED picture on the front where if it's red, it means that it needs to be charged or is charging, and then if it turns green when it's done. So you can always tell when it's charged, and there is no on or off switch on that, it's just always on. It's very compact, works. It takes a little bit longer to charge than if I plugged it in directly with one each. I think it may be splitting the charging potential between the two controllers, but as soon as one controller is charged on there and you plug the other one in, then it gets full. So I think if you have two controllers to charge, it'll take twice as long to charge. But it's not a big deal. It retails for roughly $25-ish or so on the Amazon Canadian website. You'll have to check what it is in the UK and the States, but roughly around that price range. So it's actually fairly reasonable. It's something I would definitely recommend. And the other charger, which is the one for the Switch controllers, is interesting. You can charge four individual Joy-Cons by sliding them into place, and there's these little pillars, and the pillars light up, they're see-through, they light up either red, like an orangey red, or a green, of course, if it's charging or needs or is charged. Now, you also can actually hook up a Pro Controller to it. You put that in upside down on the one side. You can only charge one Pro Controller at a time, but you can charge two Joy-Cons and a Pro Controller at the same time and leave them charged, and that's what I do. This one does have an on and off switch. If you switch it off, I thought at first it just switched off the LED lights. Incorrect, it actually does turn off the charging mechanism, so you do want to keep it on when you're charging. Because I had it turned off and I had been using my Pro Controller, and then I went to go use my Joy-Cons, and I hadn't used the Joy-Cons in months because I'm not a big fan of them in the first place. But I did notice the batteries had drained fairly significantly. I'm like, oh crap, I guess I hadn't had it on. So I flipped it on. And yeah, they charge fairly quickly. Like there isn't, I don't know if it charges quicker than the PS4 one because it's a different voltage or amperage or anything, but it does seem to charge their controllers faster than the PS4 controller charger does. And that just may be because maybe the PS4 controller has a larger battery. So whatever. So it's sort of apples and oranges, but they do look good sitting side by side on my charging shelf, and they do work very, very, very well. I would highly recommend getting it. It's a little bit more money. It's like about $10 more or so, depending on if you get it on sale or not, than the PS4 controller charger. But I think it's more versatile in that you can charge multiple types of controllers in it. So either four Joy-Cons or two Joy-Cons and a Pro Controller, which is the configuration I use it for. And I actually have a second Pro Controller, so all I do is pull off the one Pro Controller, use it when I'm playing, and put the other one in the charging dock, and then just swap it out whenever I want to switch controllers, whenever the one controller starts to get low on battery. Very useful. Something I highly recommend, and it does look nice. So I would suggest getting either or both if you're like me and you have both systems. So I did actually do a couple little tests on it too. Now, it's not advertised for it, so your mileage will vary. The Switch Dock one in particular, because it has the USB-C port to charge your Pro Controller in it, I did plug in one of my older phones that I just use as a backup phone that uses USB-C, and it did charge it. It's not a fast charge, it's not a quick charge dock, that's what I wanted to see too, but it does charge it, so it will give a charge to any USB-C device that you have plugged in, unless your device requires a larger higher amperage than what it supports, because it's probably only 1 amp or 1.5 or something like that. So you're not gonna be able to charge your actual Switch in it or anything like that. But it's definitely cool, and it is fairly compact, especially if you're just using it for the Joy-Cons. It doesn't have anything that juts out of it. So I would recommend picking up both. Originally has their products on. Amazon's probably the easiest way to get it. So I would say check that out. It's going to be something that, as we get closer to the holiday season, it'll be a cool gift to give somebody because, it cleans up a lot of clutter, both of them.
Okay, son, now you're starting to scare the viewers.
Just act normal.
I'd ask you to do the same, but I'm afraid that ship has sailed.
Why are there so many ostriches?
But you have a game that is dipped into the
Ha ha! Ropey, thick, window cocking.
So guys, we'll be right back right here on This Week in Geek, only on thisweekingeek.net and many other sites where I syndicate this crap, because I'm a media slut.
I like turtles.
Loose like your mom.
That's right.
No fisting, you say. Anything else you object to?
Me lucky tater tots.
You've been listening to This Week in Geek. Check out our website at thisweekingeek.net for more geek content. And subscribe to our podcast through iTunes or any podcatcher. If you'd like to comment on this episode, head to this episode post on thisweekingeek.net and comment through Facebook Connect. Or you can call our voicemail line at 817-717-7202. Follow and message us on Twitter at thisweekingeek. And check out our Instagram at twig_official_podcast. And if you're the good old-fashioned email type, send us an email at feedback@thisweekingeek.net. We'll see you next time. And remember,
lower your shields and surrender your listenership.
Oh, 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 oh. Oh yeah. Yeah, I'm a monkey. Give this monkey what she wants.
Oh, Miss Garrison.